Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Brother Davis coming at you on a Wise Wednesday, and it's going to be an excellent show tonight. I have some things that I wanted to bring out for a while that it's going to give me an opportunity to. But before I start the show, I want you to know, don't forget the number to call. The number is 641-715-3660, and the code to get in is 549032#. And if you want to get in the queue, it's *61. Now, the reason why I'm putting this out real quick is because I want to get this show moving forward. Actually, before I get started, I want you to keep in mind that this is the Black Talk Radio Network, and we are a nonprofit organization. We are bringing the things to you that have become to be tools in your life. One of the best advantages of having us is that you can be a part of what our need, how our needs are met. So that's right. We have a page set up that you can go into the Black Talk Radio Network and therefore make a contribution or an offering, or even sign up to show if you have a special skill that may be of service to us. What we want to do is for you to participate. This is how we can meet the needs of the community together. Okay, now, before I go in, let me tell you about an experience that I had. And what's so unique about this experience is that I've never had one like this before. And my wife was with me to some degree, but she didn't really experience the whole whole concept. We were taking our truck in to be washed. Routine thing they go through. It's similar like a car wash, only it's bigger, okay? So I take my truck on the inside, and I had been in line for about an hour, and they told us that they had some difficulties because literally someone else's truck had locked the brakes up and they couldn't move it. So before they could get it out, he had to work with it and that sort of thing. But it to me personally, it kind of moved into my time. So when I went in to pay, I have this thing about scanning. I'm looking to see certain things. I'm looking for cameras. I'm looking for entrances and exits. I'm looking for offices. I'm looking for phones, because this is just a concept I've always had about me since my old Marine Corps days. I always noticed the ins and outs, the exits, the entrances, the communication devices, as well as the cameras. That's just a habit. So I go in, and I just happen to notice all of that, and there's a heavy set white guy in there, and there's a woman. So the woman's the customer service cashier. So I walk over to her. So hey, I said, I've been in line for a while. I said, do I get any courtesy for that? She said, pardon? I said, do I get any courtesy for that? She said, well, I don't know. So she called somebody, and a young Latino brother came in, And he had came out to the truck to inform us that there was somebody broke down. It's going to be a while. So me and my wife, it was okay. So when she calls, well, this woman here,
yeah, Brother Davis, look like the mountains got you there. You're really, really breaking up right now.
Well, this heavy set white gentleman that was there turned around and he said, well, that's the position we all go through. Okay, now I have to assume at this point that he went through it too. Not a problem. So I turned to the lady and I said, so once the manager come in, if he can give me a discount, that'd be a plus. This is just a way of communicating. So the heavy set white gentleman said, I said that we all have that problem. Now, this doesn't concern him. All right. So at this point, I could have got aggravated, but I didn't. So I turned into the lady and I said, okay, if you give me the cost of my bill, I'll start my process of dialing and getting my codes and everything in order. And I said, in the meantime, so when the manager comes, hopefully he'll give me a discount. Well, the lady kind of just stood and the guy said, you're a badger lady. Well, by this time, I'm looking at this guy and said, well, who are you? And a little more fun away, you know what I'm saying? So he turned to me and said, I'm here in the office. So not a problem. Okay, so I turned around and I said to the lady again, I said, well, I said, if you give me your code, I'll know what the facility code is. And he said, you're badgering the lady. So by this time, he's starting to rub me wrong. So I turned around and I said, what's your problem? And he said, you're my problem. It's okay, well, that's all right. You can live with that. And he said, and I don't like it. I said, well, that's okay. I can live with that. He said, and I can do something about it. I said, well, you can cross that bridge, but you have to. So he started talking away from me, so he storms up on me, and we face to face. And he's looking at me. I'm talking 2 inches away from my nose. Talking about, well, what you going to do about it? I said, you know what? I said, actually, you're the one who acted like you were going to do something to me. Now, I'm trying to be humble here, but if you cross the line, I could change all of that. So by this time, 3 or 4 other guys come in. They could see this conversation is here. So now you have to understand the dynamics here. We are told to show. This woman's behind us, and she's terrible. Said to this guy, listen, I don't like you being that close to me, so you better step off. And he said, well, what you gonna do about it? I said, well, I tell you what, you cross the line. I don't mind demonstrating, because I'm gonna tell you, I'm first of all, I'm gonna maim you. Then I don't know what I'm gonna do. He said, you're gonna what? So by this time, the manager comes in. So the manager said, well, is there a problem? I said, well, actually, I was waiting here for you to see if I could get a discount because of the delay I had in line. And this gentleman thought that he had a right to interject his opinion in our business. So by this time, he's walking back across the room. So I'm saying to the manager, I'd like to know if I could get a discount for my delayed time. And he said, well, I'm going to tell you, man. He said, really, I'm just a manager. I really don't have the authority to make a decision like that. I do understand, he said, because we had a problem getting that guy out of here, but he paid for it all the time that he was in here. So literally all I could do right now is call the manager, and that's going to go into some more time. I said, okay, well, I'll tell you what, that's not a problem. That's the answer. All I wanted was an answer. I said, but this gentleman over here, I said, the back hall, because now I'm trying to intimidate. Okay. I said, the reality is what we were talking about had nothing to do with you. I said, and then you want to step towards me like you're supposed to make a difference in my day, but I didn't budge an inch. But let me make something very clear to you. I said, now that there are other people in here, if you would like to make that gesture, I will have a totally different reaction. Well, he stayed on his side of the room, so I said to him again, I said, because you're a pig. You're so fat, I can hear you breathing over here. And he said, hear me breathing? What does that mean? What does that mean? So the guy, the manager said, no, just relax, man. He said, listen, he said, if you go ahead and get the paperwork done, make the phone call, get the code, get the paperwork done. He said, I'll get you out of here. I said, okay, I have no problem with that. So this guy's talking about, well, what's that mean? What's that mean? So Latino brother, he's looking at all this here, and he's very intimidated, all right, very intimidated. Of course, he's probably maybe one of the two Latino brothers that work here, but everybody else is white, right? Which I had no problem with. So at the end, when I was getting ready to go out the door, he said, I knew you wasn't going to do nothing. And I said, you know what? You're absolutely right, because I don't do anything that's going to disrupt my natural flow. But if you would have crossed that line, I would have made this a day that you would never have forgotten. So by this time, the woman that was behind the counter, she came out and grabbed him. And they went out the door. So I'm going to my truck, and the Latino brother eased up on me and said, yo, man. I said, yeah. He said, you know, they got everything in there on tape. I said, yeah, I noticed the camera when I went in there. He said, so if there would have been anything, you know, he'd have came back and got that tape. I said, well, he didn't want to come back and get the tape, because literally all I was doing was conversing. I wasn't badgering the woman or nothing. Plus, she's a cashier. She's there to answer my questions. I'm here for her service. And all I did was answer questions. But what I wanted you to understand is that I just found out today Trump was in town yesterday. That's right. He went to one of those afternoon sessions, probably, got all hyped up because he's around those like-minded people. And you have to understand the dynamics of what goes on here, because the black people have been murdered in the streets for less. So I had to be very understanding of my circumstances. I had to rise to understand that now I had to put him in a position to do something to me before I reacted, because him just walking over to me didn't mean nothing, okay? But I think he was trying to intimidate me, thinking that I was emotional, because they think all black people are emotional. And I was going to react so in a manner that he could have took it as being aggressive. But I did not. I was just cool, and I looked at him and I said, well, you crossed the room. If you was going to do something, you wouldn't have stopped at that line. But you didn't cross that line, so I don't have a problem with it. Now, I say that to you to say this. This mentality of arrogance is going around after all of the environments that Trump is in. And the reason why it is because literally they are committing
right. I apologize, listeners. Brother Davis is mobile and appears to be going through some mountains, but let me see if he's still on the board. He has dropped off the board. We'll see if he gives us a call back. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. Brother Davis not here. He had to travel out of state and to take care of some business that's going to take him all week. And he won't be able to do the program, so that is why he is not with us. Right now, it is Wednesday, so that's when we do Wise Wednesdays. And Brother Davis is always mobile in the truck, and it appears that he's in a mountainous region, which don't make good for communication, so I'm going to keep a check on the board. But we're going to take a break right now, station identification break, and try to resolve that issue. You're listening to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be back. We'll be right back.
for calling me back, brother.
All right, we're in break. We'll be done with the break in about 30 seconds, so hold tight. Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. Welcome back to Tando Radio Show. Before Brother Davis picks back up, and Brother Davis, we lost you right after you were describing how this man was trying to get you to react out of emotion, and then you dropped out there. The telephone number is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound, and hit *61 if you have a question or comment for Brother Davis. Please don't hesitate or wait with your questions or comments. Tando is on air for about an hour today, and so please don't hesitate. Wait to the last minute. Try to get your questions in for Brother Davis on this Wise Wednesday. Brother Davis, again, you dropped off after you said the man came over to you and was trying to provoke you to react out of your emotions. Brother Davis, we can't hear you. You might be on mute.
Yes, absolutely. And the reason why I wanted to point this out to you, my brothers and sisters, is because this is happening all over the country. Why? Because this campaign has taken on an air of arrogance that these people have never experienced before. You have to look at the totality of what's going on in our environment. So literally, they feel like they are empowered enough to be in position to us as a people. Now, my biggest problem is that I could see some young brothers getting into that situation and literally becoming victimized because of the fact that they don't see into the depths of it. But we have to teach our children that if we want them to survive, this becomes a part of our survival tactic. Why? Because we need for them to come home when they leave. And I have a young son who's celebrating a birthday today. And believe me, I wanted to, we've talked about many things like this. I haven't had a chance to talk to him about this today, but the reason why is because we have so much distance between us. But please, make it your business. Tell your children, pull them aside and say, look, let's talk. Because this type of mentality in the citizenry has never been there before. Why has it never been there before? Because there have never been so much aggression dealing with people becoming empowered. And that's what is happening, my brothers and sisters. Make it very clear to you. If you look at the climate or what is going on, look at a perfect example is Colin, the Kirkpatrick, the San Francisco quarterback. He's changed the dynamic of the attention placed on racism in America. Now, you have to understand this. This is a man of color. So when a man of color that has that kind of visibility, now he has a following. This is great fear to these people. You have to understand, for those of you who get these sort of things, Ben Stein, for those of you who know him, did an article in a national paper, I believe it was either the Washington Post or the New York Times, in which he clearly stated that the emotional aspects or the attributes of black feeling is insignificant. You see, if we paid attention to how black people felt, then we take the power away from white supremacy. Now, you have to understand, he's telling a news reporter this to put in a major paper. So they're aware of what is going on in reference to where they stand and what they're trying to do. What you have to become aware of is the things that you have to be able to sustain in order for us to live through this. That's why I wanted to give you my personal experience. Now, I wanted to move the show on because there's other things I want to discuss with you about, but I wanted to point that out because this is something that's going to be in the atmosphere for a while. And if you are not careful, and you have to understand the dynamics of what I said about if you are not careful, okay? And but just per se, I got into a confrontation, and this was all on camera, and that person got hurt. Do you think I would have gotten out of the jail for that? Do you think I would have went to jail for that? You see, all of these things come into play, so you have to be very discerning. I mean, very discerning. As an African-American man, I could have did that white boy four times in a matter of a minute. But it wasn't so much my feelings, because it was his ego that really put him in this position. Because you could, I could see fear in his eyes. It was like he said, uh-oh. But he didn't cross that line. And we can't cross that line. You understand that? And this is the importance of why I brought this out tonight. I want you to understand that. Because I have children, you have children, and your children mean as much to me as my children mean to me. And so do you. You mean as much to me as those people who I show love to on a daily basis. So we have to stay focused if we're going to get through this here together. Now, my real topic tonight was the things that we need to do right now to empower ourselves to be prepared for what's about to come. A lot of that has directly to do with the incident that happened to me, because it deals with our emotional, it deals with our frame of mind, it deals with how we react, and it also deals with our supply. What is our supply? Our supply is the thought process that allows us to evaluate a given situation that works to our advantage. Understand how I said that? To make it work to our advantage. Because had I done something that could have been misconstrued, that could have went any, either way. And that is why it's so important. So the first thing we want to make sure of is that we start understanding the importance of food. Why food? Because food becomes an enemy to us. And the reason why it becomes an enemy to us is because what you put in your mouth goes to a biochemical operation in your body. You put good food in, the good food is transferred into energy, the energy is transferred into the aspects of usage. What is aspects of usage? Whatever you decide you want to do with it. Okay, so if you want to lift something, the energy's there. And the energy, good energy, feeds all the systems at once. It feeds your digestive system, your respiratory system. It feeds your all of your what they call sympathetic nervous system. Okay, and good food also, it fortifies the enzymes that build your cells. So there's a big transformation that takes place in there. So when you feed yourself what is called vegetable-based foods are foods that are living. Okay. Those living foods have what's called a natural energy that your body already knows when it sees and faces it, what it is. And it has a natural process that it puts that food through. So by the time the food is digested and it's gotten into the system, meaning that the energy is taken out of the food, the substance is separated, all of the food that is living food literally has an operation in your body. There's certain types of food that work for certain parts of your body more than others. And that's why it's so important that we understand food.
Brother Dave, is something went wrong with your audio. Brother Davis, can you hear me? Brother Davis. Okay, it appears Brother Davis is unable to hear me. Brother Davis.
It's a chemical that meets all the criteria of my system, but
All right, let me see, listeners, if I can just hang up and call him back. Maybe that will resolve it, get that audio issue straightened out. All right, let's try this again. Yeah, something's wrong with your mic on your phone. Something's going on because we can't really hear you. It's saying,
hear me.
Okay, now I can hear you a little bit louder.
Okay. All right. As I was saying, you are a battery. What makes you work is what you put in you. So we have to be focused on the quality of life-giving substance that we put in ourselves. And different things give you different attributes. There are what's called alkaline foods. There are apples and cucumbers, watermelons. See, these things give your body alkaline right away. As soon as you eat it, it's neutralizing acid in your body. That's what alkaline is, okay? No disease can live in an alkaline body. So if you do the things that keep your body heavily alkaline, there are a greater chance that you're going to be healthier. Your body's going to function more thoroughly, because it's in a system, and the system is operating according to its natural element. Now, there are other foods like tomatoes, potatoes, carrots, greens. These all are living foods. They bring an attribute of nutrition to the body through just consumption. I say carrots. Carrots, not so much. Carrots is a hybrid, okay? And it's always good to learn foods, because when you learn foods, you begin to understand what attributes they have in them. We eat a lot of greens, kale, turnip greens, romaine lettuce. All of these sort of things are giving your body some positive energy. Fruits and vegetables, you can't go wrong with. And the reason why you can't go wrong with it, because it's all living food. Understand, these are the points of knowledge that are going to be attributes to you in any circumstance. That's one of the reasons why I mentioned the book that we had purchased and told you about, in reference to about the things that are growing, that live in an environment that you live in, that you can eat. They bring nutrition, natural nutrition, to your body. So,
I have a question, Brother Davis.
Look, they're coming with questions, Scotty.
The question is, can you give us an example of dead foods?
Oh, absolutely. Dead foods are fried chicken. Dead foods are beef. Now, understand, a dead food can give you certain things, but it can't give you what you need. And why can't it? Because in most cases, situations like that, those foods are not, because they're prepared with a attribute. My wife was saying the fry factor and the oil factors are two of those attributes that are required to eat those sort of things that literally kill whatever nutritional value it may have in it. And that's not counting, understand now, the chemicals that are in the substance of the meat itself. But most processed foods are dead foods. Why? Because they go through a process just to be able to be placed in a state of, should we say, animation. That state of animation allows it to have a shelf life that may be 2 years, maybe a year. And some foods, if you heard the advertisements on TV, have a shelf life of 25 years. And although they don't want to tell you, if you got a McDonald's hamburger and put it under a glass, that will last you and look the same way every day for a good year. So a lot of the stuff that is in that so-called food, that is dead food. So if you're going to fast foods and thinking, okay, well, I'm going to get something to pick me up, it's not going to pick you up. It might give you a rush, but it's not going to pick you up. And in the long run, it's going to subdue your system. So definitely stay away from as much fast foods as you can. If you do go to a fast food, go to someplace like Chipotle. They specialize in fresh vegetables in most of their dishes. And understand how I said that. In most of their dishes. And I'm going to tell you something. Chipotle has been targeted because of the nutritional factor that it's the average person. And that's why you heard so many things about there being different kind of diseases coming from the vegetables. That literally was a campaign against Chipotle. And I'm going to tell you, I did a lot of research on that, because when it Chipotle first came out, hey, that was right up my alley. I don't eat that with vegetables. And you could go in there and tell them exactly what you want, and they will cook it in front of you just like you want it. They'll season it just like you want it. So therefore, you got a win-win there. So it wasn't a surprise when they targeted. So remember, all processed foods that go through any kind of preparation is dead food. It has no natural nutrition at all. So when you look into your cupboards, when you look into your closet, or when your child says, Mommy, can I have that mac and cheese? Remember, you're giving them something that's going to hurt them more so than help them. And we're not even considering the chemicals that are involved in the food. Remember, we've been talking about this for a while. The chemicals like maltodextrin and stuff like riboflavin and those sort of things, they're not natural to foods. They've been introduced to these foods. You know why? Because some of them add flavor. They add to the taste. We have to stop eating for taste in America, because we have made people a fortune, and we can become the most obese country in the world based on taste. We can do something about that, people, and it's our responsibility to take hold and make change. Okay, and we talked about food. We talked about how we should be able to control ourselves in different circumstances, even although they appear to be out of our control. It's not so much the circumstance as much as it is how we control ourselves. I cannot emphasize that enough. So we'll talk about how we present ourselves. What is that covering? If it's in the wintertime, you want clothes that's going to keep you warm. If it's in the summertime, you want clothes that fit you kind of loosely, that you can move around in. I like things with pockets. And the reason why is because I like to carry so many things. I even got me a biker's bag that I carry around my waist all the time. I always got a book in it. I might have a wallet, my keys, my cell phone, or I might even have a piece of fruit in, because literally, that is the type of thing that I eat instead of when I get that kind of air of hunger. My wife, she carries trail mix. And you know what? Sometimes when I'm hungry, just ain't here. I'm saying to myself, how do you know I want this? But she'll say to me, well, if I'm hungry, I know you're hungry. So that's a unique dynamic that comes in a relationship. But it's a thing that has come a part of my life that is an attribute to me. Okay? So we always want to be mindful of what our plan is, where we're going, how we're dressed. Are we taking anything so that we can eat in case we get hungry? I suggest, this is just us, we carry water. We like to take our own water. Why? Because a lot of places do offer public drinking water, but you may not know the source of that water. Or somebody might have came by, because you have to understand, we live in the most disharmony. We live in a society that has so much disharmony that we cannot trust people to be in public to treat things the way you would treat things. So some people are they have dastardly ideas. Some people literally walk the streets looking for an opportunity, and that opportunity may not be to your advantage. So you got to make sure that you don't become the victim of somebody looking for an opportunity. Which brings me to another thing. We have to be able to learn to use any and everything as a tool or a weapon. Now understand, let me say that again. We must learn to use any and everything as a tool or a weapon. Why? Because we cannot predict in this day and age what may happen or where we are. And I'm telling you from experience. I yesterday went into my father-in-law's house. I just kicked back, turned the TV on. And, you know, you got Anarchy coming on TV. What's the show when they take one day to go out and kill everybody? Think about that. This is a movie in the second or third episode, or should I say remake, where they're saying they're taking a day to go out and just kill. We're talking about in a civilized state where they literally take one day off and they go out and kill. These things are not on being watched by chance. So you must be prepared for those people who watch stuff like this, and they sit back and say, oh, wow, I just wish we could go out and have one day that all we could do is kill, and then will nobody say anything. I don't know about you, but as a humanist, that's more than bizarre to me. But I have to live in this world. So I have to be able to be emulate the same behavior if needed. And understand how I said that. Because literally, you're going to have to do some things. Me and my wife was talking, I always carry keys. I tell her, always carry your keys. That can be a tool or it can be a weapon. I carry what's called a multi-tool. For those of you who don't have a multi-tool, go to your closest hardware store, your Lowe's, or your Walmart, and go in and ask them for a multi-tool. Just so you can see what it looks like. And a lot of them have maybe 10, 12, 14. I've seen some with as many as 18 different functions. And you know what? I used to think, oh, wow, that's just a little much. But when I got one, I began to realize how every one of these things come into play at one time or another. Or it can be used at one time or another. So I have one of those in my pouch also. You see, we must walk, talk, and act like we're ready for the incident. Oh, another thing I have in there is a miniature flashlight. That's right. Because I don't know where I may be, why I need a little light. Now, I have a miniature flashlight that has a very bright light. When I turn it on, it will literally shock your eyes. Why? Because that may be an effect I could use as a tool or as a weapon. Are we getting this? Because we're living in a different day and age now. I could tell you, oh, that won't happen, but I can't guarantee it. It's better for you for it. So if it does, you can be get to sit back and say, you know, I'm sure glad I heard that show. Now, I'm encouraging you. Our time is getting short. If you got a call, if you got a question, call. Get your question out now. Because I'm going to tell you something. There's a plethora of things you can do that becomes a weapon. A pen becomes a weapon. You understand that? A bobby pin can become a weapon. You understand? Anything from keys to a wallet can become a weapon. Oh, now you're saying, wow, a wallet? How does a wallet become a weapon? Well, if you want somebody, if you're trying to ice quietly, all you got to do is approach them right, touch that neck, that mouth goes open, stuff that wallet in their mouth, and you can victimize them any way you want. Now, the reason why I say that is because I have known different situations where a cry out only gives power to the person that's trying to do harm to you. And sadly enough, this is the time in which we live. So sometimes you may have to reach a point where you're jamming that wallet down their throat with one hand and doing something else altogether different with another. A belt becomes a tool and a weapon. And make sure that you don't just try to use it for the first time when you're in a circumstance in which your need is greater than your ability to use it. Because if so, you may not have the skill to use it. Another thing that I always look for, I look for piano chords. Interesting, huh? A piano chord that gives a simulated note. Oh, yeah, a piano chord, they run about, oh, I'd say you can get them 4 to 6 feet long. Some longer, depending on the chord or what ends. And the longer the chord, the thinner the chord. I understand how I said that. The longer the chord, the thinner the chord. Now, you get thicker chords from the bass end, but when you get those thicker chords from the bass end, you're going to have to do some cutting to get them the way to work the way you want to. It can be done. So make sure that you are always thinking in terms of how you're going to get home. You see, me and my wife, being cross-country truck drivers, I hover over her sometimes because sometimes I don't think she understands the dynamic of what's going on at a given time. So I got my schedule down so that before she drives, I fill the truck up and everything, make sure she goes to the bathroom, make sure she got something to eat. And if she has to stop during her time, I want her to wake me up. Because if I'm not there with her, I got to be able to see her or be able to get to her in seconds. You understand? So I'm always aware. And a lot of times, little things like shoes, which, shoes that have shoestrings, I wear. Sneakers, I wear. I don't need them. A lot of times I have sandals on because sandals are deceiving. most people who see you in sandals, they think, oh, you'll slip and slide. But they don't know once you step out those sandals, you're firmly on the ground. And if you know how to use your body, that's all you need to do is be firmly on the ground. Uniquely enough, we live in a time in which we cannot take anything for granted. Nothing. And the sad part about it is that we have to teach our children to live in these times, or the risk is very, very great. I'm not willing to pay certain costs. And the sad part about it is that I have grandchildren, I have friends with grandchildren, I got brothers and sisters with grandchildren. And a lot of them, I don't see that they're taking that responsibility very seriously. But when I pick up my cell phone and I see a missing child or a disappeared child, I don't know, how many of you guys have seen a Rico and a brother whose body was found out in California, had no organs? We live in very, very, very destructive times. And I'm trying to say that in a very nice way, because this isn't something that just happened. You hear about the boy that was in the school down in Georgia who was found rolled up in a mat? When they found him, he had no organs. Wake up, people. Because I'm going to tell you something. We can get through this. But we are dealing. And understand how I'm saying this, because I don't take this lightly. We are dealing with the most destructive human beast ever to walk the earth, who kills in multiples of hundred thousands. You understand that? And you have to get this quickly. You see, by nature, African-American people are passive. We don't want confrontation. Actually, we live better in harmony alone. Why? Because we can grow to build relationships with each other. But we have been so inundated with Westernism that we have gotten so far away from that we either have to eliminate this animal or get out of the environment that this animal controls. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, maybe they'll come around. Maybe they will. Oh, there's nice white people, and there are. I'm not listening off. But the reality is, until we are sure what we are with, we have to build alliances with wisdom. And those alliances may be something that becomes a part of our family, or they may be something that we must eliminate. That simple. So, my brothers and sisters, now, we talked about clothing. We talked about food. Transportation. You have to have the ability to learn quickly. What do I mean by that? I drive a tractor trailer. I also drive a car. I also ride a motorcycle. I also ride heavy equipment. Why? Because I wanted to learn how all of them work. Okay? I used to drive a backhoe, because that's one of the things I wanted to learn how to work. Okay? So as time went on, I learned how to drive a backhoe. I learned how to use the shovel to dig the ditches or trenches. I need to learn how to stabilize them. All of these things may come in handy. That knowledge, applicable knowledge, it may not be something you use every day. That's why I was saying, well, you should be on the internet looking at skills that you can learn that will be an attribute to you if needed. Small engine repair. I don't know a lot about it, but I don't want to have to be the person that does it to me. If I'm going to do something tedious as a craftsman, I want it to be an art, because that way I see a reward, okay? But if I want to be a tinkler, small engine repair is an excellent opportunity, because there will be a need for them, and you will be able to meet a need in the community that is a specialty. Not everybody's going to have that. So when you get on there and talk about those days, oh, I ain't got nothing to do, or what can I do? Always reading. Always. I told you I carry a book in my bag. Now, the book I carry in my bag is what's called Self-Healing and Body Repair. Why? Because it becomes a tool for me to keep my body working at peak efficiency. My wife will tell you, over the last, I guess, month, I'm dropped about 25 pounds, 30 pounds. I'm getting to the point now where I'm starting to really work on bringing my muscles back into form. Now, what does that mean? I mean, if you see them, you can literally see them. When you see me, you can literally see them. Understand, when you get caught up in Westernism, that one time body that you used to have can be victimized because you're going out here and you're eating out, and you're eating for taste.
all of that dynamic has changed. Okay? When I drink water, I try to make sure it's one kind of water. And I'm in the process now of regrouping with my cash with my family so that we could go ahead and buy a water bottle from Brockton Hawkins. But now, this is their last time. I told them we should have did this. We should have been had this. Okay? But since they're not cooperating, I have to look out for me and mine. So I'm giving them to the first of this month because we should have did this 2 months ago. But if they don't come through, I'll look out for me. I'll get one for me. It's dysfunctional for me and my wife and the situation we're in, whether we're in the truck or in the house. Because we have somebody that has that facility, but they're not, and can help us apply it the way we need it. Understand how I said that? Because we just had that compromise to work on our part and do it the way we need it. So it may not be requiring a lot on his part because he knows how to do it. But what it's going to require on ours, we're going to step up too, because I can't wait no more. I'm getting tough. We're getting down to the end of this show. I want to encourage everybody, if you have any questions, we got about 12 minutes left. Call. Because there's things I want to say, I'm forgetting about it because I'm trying to cover other things. Oh, by the way, when it comes to food, I should be drying food now. Actually, we've seen the video on us, my wife and I, we went out, we bought turmeric, and we capsulized our turmeric. You should have been doing that. Because these things become things that are tools for you to use in climate circumstances. And I keep saying in climate circumstances because I don't know how bad this is going to get. But I know it's going to get a whole lot different than it is. And when it does, those people who are caught up emotionally, who have not been meditating, are going to get victimized by a situation like I just told you I was in, because they'll get emotional and they will react in a way that is not conducive to survival. And had I did that, they're killing people. So why couldn't I be? We have to be mindful. And when we strike, we have to strike quick, precisely, and move on. And this is how we must train our children. So don't think because you learned something, you don't have to pass it on. Yes, you do. If you're a tinker of small engines, get your child beside you. Hand me the wrench so they know the wrench is. Hand me a screwdriver so they can know what a screwdriver is. Hand me a 3/8 so they can sit down and see where the 3/8 is located on that wrench so they'll know that they're giving you a 3/8. You see, these helpers develop into professionals. And that's why we learn at an early age how to cook, how to sew, how to iron. Because although I had three sisters, grandmother used to say,
oh, Brother Davis, it seems like your audio has dropped out again. You're still on the line, but must be some interference again.
Okay, well, I apologize.
Okay, we can hear you. We have you back. We have you back. Please continue.
Brothers and sisters, I apologize for the situation that I'm in today. I try to be in a stable situation so I can be in one place, but a lot of times time catches up with me, and literally I'm running contracts in the midst of trying to convey these very important and vital tools to you. And what is important about a vital tool is that you can convey it to someone else. And believe me, you're going to have that opportunity too. So always be focused. Always have a pen and a piece of paper, or a pencil and a piece of paper, and write down those things that you might have picked up but didn't quite grasp. And do your own due diligence. Because, see, when you do your own due diligence, what you learn becomes a revelation to you. And then when you operate a revelation, you're operating in your own experience. You're not operating from a manual, because you've used the manual so much, now you're functional. Okay? I spoke to you about the book that I'm studying right now on self-healing. If you have something like an opportunity to get something like that, I have a Dr. Chan's book on self-healing, and it has basically gone from a Tao aspect of how all of the years of study and these tools that they use and exercises that you how to cooperate and prepare your body through different exercises. Now, another thing is, and I learned this in this book, that when you are eating a proper diet, just because the way you eat and just walking, you are massaging all the organs in your body. That's right. There's a massage that's taking place on all of the organs in your body when you're maintaining a natural diet, meaning that it's a plant-based diet with regular water, because your organs move, okay? But that meridian that surrounds your organ, that meridian, that's called the circular cycle of supply that surrounds your organ, moves also. And when it moves, it's literally massaging your organ in a healthy way. Now, there are other massages you can do to enhance the way that organ works. And there's other things you could do to enhance things like your breathing so that your whole body functions better. But this book gives me all of those tools. So the book is Dr. Chan's Self-Healing and Body Repair, and through the teachings of the Taoisms. And it's an excellent book. It's an easy read. And literally what I did was, as I read, I do the exercises. And until I have an understanding of how my body is doing this exercise, whether it's right, am I doing it right, am I thinking it through, then until I get that, I don't move on, okay? Now, there are times where I'll go into certain topics because I want to really focus on a certain topic, and that way I'm doing the exercises that is going to help that body function to its peak efficiency through those exercises. And I'm going to tell you, I've always told you, computers are designed behind the natural body, because it is the greatest tool ever, ever delivered to the earth. And understand that. Out of all the things that you look for outside of yourself, the greatest is the tool that gives you life on a daily basis. My brothers and sisters, listen, I'm talking about doing a show Friday because we're filling in. And on Friday show, I'll be in one spot. So I won't be going in and out. And I'll be focusing on several different things when it comes to self. The reason why I have to focus, I'm staying on self, is because on all of the preparation that you go through, and all of the things that you have, and all of the things that's going to be a need to you, and how you store them, and how you keep them so that they are ready when you're ready to use them, the most vital of all of this is self. We are a holistic channel, and you will get things from this channel that you will get from no other channel around. If you do not believe that we are living in the most dangerous times, turn this channel on. I'm telling you, just turn it on and listen, because I'm finding out more and more, not only about our environment, but what's happening in other environments. Not only what's happening to our brothers that are incarcerated, but how they're being sustained there. Not only what's happening to our brothers and sisters that's being murdered in the streets, but how that situation developed to the point of murder. And understand this. Some of these are just plain murder. So you can be victimized whenever you're at a point where you are not focusing on exactly what you're trying to do. Your life is important to me, because we can get through this together and build together. Person said to me, well, how can white people help? Well, if you go to my Facebook page, there's a story there that a lady gives. And the lady has a sister-in-law who literally is...
Uh-oh, looks like, we lost the connection with Brother Davis. Let me see if we can get him back real quick so he can give his final comments. Again, apologies for the technical difficulties as he's traveling through a mountainous region. And, of course, mountains and hills can mess with your line of sight. For the radio signals and cell phones.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Brother Davis, if you wanted to go into your final comments and inform people, I think you were telling us about what you had planned for Friday. Yeah, we can't hear you, Brother Davis. It's sounding real, real low again. Okay, let me try that again. Call them back, see if we can establish a better connection. Not sure what's going on. Might be with that particular device that he's using.
Thank you, Scotty. Listen, this is Brother David signing off tonight on Wednesday. I will be here Friday night at 6 p.m. at Staple Place, and we will definitely have a venue for you. So please come prepared with pencil, piece of paper, and have your questions. Know that the number is that you can call into the talk radio show so that we can convey the ideas that you want us to put out there. This is Brother Davis on Wise Wednesdays, and I'm out.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.